Blog Talk Radio.
I'm a part of the fellowship of the unashamed. I have Holy Spirit power. I've stepped over the line. The decision has been made. I'm a disciple of His. I won't look back, let up, slow down, back away, or be still. My past redeemed, my present makes sense, my future is secure. I'm finished and done with low living, sight walking, small planning, smooth knees, colorless dreams, tame vision, worldly talking, cheap giving, and dwarf goals. I no longer need preeminence, position, promotion, applause, or popularity. I don't have to be right first, tops, recognized, praised, regarded, or rewarded. I now live by faith, lean on His presence, walk by patience. I am uplifted by prayer and labor empowered. My face is set, my grade is fast, my goal is heaven. My road is narrow, my way is rough, my companions are few. My God reliable, my mission is clear. I cannot be fucked, compromised, detoured, lured away, turned back, deluded, or delayed. Face the sacrifice, hesitate in the presence of my adversaries, negotiate at the table of my enemy, or ponder at the pool of popularity. I won't give up, set up, let up until I've stayed up, bored up, prayed up, preached up for the cause of Christ. I am a disciple of Jesus, and we will fight.
Pastor Sam Cottle here with you. Glad to have you with us this morning. I know this about today. No matter where you are, no matter what's going on, Jesus is Lord. Say it with me. Jesus is Lord. Whether it looks like it's going good or it looks like it's going bad, it doesn't matter. Jesus is Lord. It's not mattered through history, no matter what's gone on. It's not mattered because Jesus was still Lord. And the scripture says, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and all of them that dwell therein. And the last time I checked, you and I were both a part of that, and that's an awesome deal. All right, time to get started. If you will, find a flag in your house, and let's say the pledge. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. This morning, I've got a special guest to read our proverb. So I'm going to go over to my mom and dad's house, see if I can get one of them to open with prayer. You guys there?
Yes, we are.
So today,
yeah,
Dad,
how are you doing?
I've got a virtuous woman that's going to read Proverbs for me.
Good.
Her
Good.
Name's Pam.
We agree with that.
So what I need you to do is say the opening prayer for us.
Heavenly Father, we are so grateful for all your kindness, your provisions, most of all for your great salvation. Where we would be without you is a question, but your grace has reached our hearts and given us a hope that goes beyond this world, beyond the difficulties that we see all about us. And we know that we have the message, we have the words of life to share with others. So we ask today in this program that that life-giving power will be shared and spread throughout this program. You bless Sam, you bless Pam, bless all those who listen. Lord, may you accomplish your will and your purpose in our lives today. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.
Awesome. Had my mic shut off. Thank you, Dad.
You're welcome.
Guess what I saw this morning?
No telling.
A robin.
Matter of fact,
Becky said there was one up there, but didn't find no place there wasn't snow.
Well, I'll tell you what, it's like the dove going back to the ark. There's no place to land yet, but I'll bet I saw 20 of them this morning.
Oh,
so
wonderful.
Spring is here.
Wonderful.
All right, love you guys.
Yep.
Now, the proverb for today is Proverbs 31, which is the proverb that's the virtuous woman proverb. And Pam's at the emergency room working already this morning. And so I asked her earlier if she would be willing to record for us the proverb for today. And so she sat down here at the computer and read the proverb for us. So here we go, Pam. Take it away.
Proverbs chapter 31, verse 1. The words of King Lemuel, the article which his mother taught him. What, O my son? And what, O son of my womb? And what, O son of my vows? Do not give your strength to women, or your ways to that which destroy kings. It is not for kings, O Lemuel, it is not for kings to drink wine, or for rulers to desire strong drink, lest they drink and forget what is decreed, and pervert the rights of all the afflicted. Give strong drink to him who is perishing, and wine to him whose life is bitter. Let him drink and forget his poverty, and remember his troubles no more. Open your mouth for the dumb, for the rights of all the unfortunate. Open your mouth, judge righteously, and defend the rights of the afflicted and needy. An excellent wife, who can find? For her worth is far above jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. She looks for wool and flax, and works with her hands in delight. She is like merchant ships. She brings her food from afar. She rises also while it is still night, and gives food to her household, and portions to her maidens. She considers a field and buys it. From her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She girds herself with strength and makes her arms strong. She senses that her gain is good. Her lamp does not go out at night. She stretches out her hands to the distaff, and her hands grasp the spindle. She extends her hand to the poor, and she stretches out her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She makes coverings for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known at the gate, when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them, and supplies belts to the tradesmen. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she smiles at the future. She opens her mouth in wisdom, and the teachings of kindness is on her tongue. Verse 27. She looks well to the ways of her household, and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and bless her, her husband also, and he praises her, saying, "Many daughters have done nobly, but you excel them all." Charm is deceitful, and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the product of her hands, and let her works praise her in the gate.
Wow, she did a good job, didn't she? I'll tell you, I married one of them, And I'm not just saying that because she's not here to hear me, because I say it to her on a regular basis because that's how valuable she is to me. And, you know, she was introducing and talking about the women's conference that's coming up this week with Mrs. B, Dr. Barclay's wife. And while she was talking about it, she's like, you know what, men, your wife is designed to produce many things for you. And you read this proverb. One of those is she buys a field, she makes investments, you know, all that stuff. But she's also designed to bring you peace. Don't treat your wife right and see if you have any. So take care of your wife. Bless her. Don't say bad things about her and then expect good things to come to you, because it's probably not going to happen. However, thank God you got a good woman. You know, the book of Proverbs says, he who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. And I found a good thing, and therefore I have favor. You might look at your wife or your husband and say, yeah, I don't know if I found a good thing or not, Pastor. Well, use some faith. Start calling them your good thing. Maybe they'll turn into that. And thank you, Lord, for a good wife. Well, here we go. Our scripture that we're going to be studying this week is the story of Jesus and the miracle where they brought the child to him and the disciples couldn't cast the devil out. And Jesus said to them, okay, but these kind only come out by prayer and fasting. So here we go. Turn with me to Mark chapter 9. This is going to be a great study. I've been studying this for a week now with my pastor on a CD that he taught at the beginning of the year about fasting. And I'm telling you, it's revolutionizing my life, and therefore I want the same thing to come to you, that your life will be revolutionized in the same process, because it's a very, very powerful teaching. And you're going to enjoy this. Mark chapter 9, verse 14, here's a miracle of Jesus. And when he came to the disciples, he saw a great multitude around them. You ever notice that Jesus' disciples always had a great multitude? And the scribes were disputing with him. Crazy religious people, anyways. Immediately when they saw him, all the people were greatly amazed and running to him, greeted him. Hey, Jesus! Hey, Jesus! And he asked the scribes, what are you discussing with them? Then one of the crowd answered and said, teacher, I brought you my son who has a mute spirit. The man was perceptive enough to realize this was a spirit. And wherever it seizes him, it throws him down. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. So I spoke to your disciples that they should cast it out, but they could not. He answered him and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him here to me. And they brought him to Jesus. And when he saw Jesus, immediately the spirit convulsed him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed around foaming at the mouth. So he asked his father, how long has this been happening to him? And the father said, from childhood. And often he has thrown him both into the fire and into water to destroy him. And he said, from childhood. Whoops. To destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Verse 25. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, deaf and dumb spirit, I command you, come out of him and enter him no more. Then the spirit cried out, convulsed him greatly, and came out of him, and he became as one dead, so that many said, wow, he's dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he had come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could we not cast it out? They just truly wanted to know. And he said to them, this kind can come out, but only by prayer and fasting. And they departed from there and passed through Galilee, and he didn't want anyone to know it. Very interesting story. Everybody say it. A life example from Jesus. Folks, it's not just a story. It's not just a fable. It's not just a fairy tale. This really happened. Jesus was really there. They really brought this child to Jesus to have the devil cast out of him. The disciples really could not cast the devil out of him. And this father truly was really frustrated with the situation that they couldn't get the devil cast out. All of that is the case right here, right now, in front of our eyes as we see this. Well, here's the truth about this issue. Jesus said to them, well, okay, but the problem that you have here is this kind is only going to come out through prayer and fasting, and obviously we got to take from that point that from the disciples that they hadn't been praying and fasting, evidently. Now, let me clear something up about our Jesus here. All right, look at verse 19. He answered and said to them, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me. Remember this about this situation where this demon is cast out. The disciples didn't get him out, didn't cast it out. But Jesus did. Some vices and sins in our life, we can speak the name of Jesus to it and have a bunch of other people speak to it and pray over us and lay hands on us and, you know, as my brother Mike would say, anoint you with holy oil, holy water, and holy everything else, and you not be free. However, what we learn from this one right here, this story, is that demon did come out. It just had to come in contact with someone who had been fasting and praying. Now, when Jesus said, O faithless generation, although that's a rebuke or a correction, it's not like many people see in their mind, what a bunch of worthless disciples, what will I ever do with you? No, that's not what Jesus is saying here. And our English translation of what the Hebrew probably said, or the Greek actually says, might be a little weak because our language is a lot more weak than theirs. However, what it is saying is, Jesus did say is here, this is how I see it, I've been showing you this over and over. How long is it going to take for you to catch on to what I'm saying? All right? And then he just said, we'll bring him here to me. And they brought him to Jesus. And when they did, Jesus looked at him, and of course, as soon as that demon recognized Jesus, he knew who Jesus was. So the demon started manifesting immediately, and when he did, Jesus just told him to come out, and the devil come out. And the young man was free. The deaf and dumb spirit came out of him, and he was free. Now, here's the truth about this scripture. Now, you can find that in Matthew chapter 17 also. And if you want to study another verse, set of scriptures on this, go to Daniel chapter 1, verses 1 through 15. This is the story of Daniel fasting. And this is what God is going to have me speak about and talk about this miracle this week for our own lives. And we're going to pray here in about another 6 minutes, 5 minutes. Excuse me. There are some things that we deal with in our life that the only way we're going to get free from them or get through them or overcome them, it depends on which word you want to use. The only process that's going to work for us to do that is going to be fasting and prayer. Because fasting and prayer doesn't convince God that he's now got a move for you because you have reached out to him and now you've got him convinced that he's finally got to move for you because you've talked so loud. No, Jesus told us when we pray, don't pray like the heathen do. And that's how the heathen pray. Now, Jesus said, don't do that. That's not how I want you praying. Jesus told them to have a fasted life, to live the lifestyle of fasting, because in that process, we gain superiority over our flesh. Oh, we deal with our own flesh. And that gives God the ability to work inside of our life in a different way because we've dealt with our flesh. Now, I'll tell you what. I have been a person that's fasted ever since I met Dr. Barclay because he's taught us to live a fasted life. My pastor's taught us to live a fasted life. I remember back at one point when I first was married, I went to my dad and I said, what about this, Dad? And he said, I don't know. Let's go to fasting and prayer. My mom and dad taught me to fast and pray. When I was away at school in Kentucky, they taught me to fast and pray. And I look at some things in my life now and say, why did I put up with that so long? All I had to do was fast and pray. Well, Pastor, I'm not too good at giving up food. I got a word for you. Neither am I. I love food. One time I was fasting, and this guy said, you seeing visions or anything? I said, yeah. Mashed potatoes, gravy, steak, macaroni and cheese. I have a vision of Ponderosa right now. I can see it. I'm having a vision of Ponderosa. And, you know, it was a blessed vision. It was amazing. It was Technicolor vision. But as I was studying this CD teaching of Dr. Barclay about fasting, it was from the first of this year when he's has his month of fasting at the beginning of the year. And, of course, I've been around Pastor now for 20 years, and I have never caught this. I don't know. That's kind of weird to say. It frustrates me when I have to look at something and say, my pastor has been teaching me this now for 20 years, and I still don't get it. I felt like the disciples the other day when I was listening to it, and Pastor was being like Jesus, you faithless generation, how long is it going to take you to see this? But everybody's got to deal with life how they got to deal with life. Say this with me. I love you, Pastor, but I got to deal with my own life. Is that right? It doesn't matter how much I get down or how much he gets down or how much you get down. The bottom line is we got to help people deal with their own life. And so here's the story that Pastor told. He grew up in a home where alcohol was there every day. When he was 12 years old, his mom took him to the hospital, to the doctor, and said there's something wrong with him. He's bleeding internally. And the doctor looked at her and said, ma'am, he's a child. He's an adolescent alcoholic. And if you don't get him off alcohol, he may not live to be 20 years old. Because in their home, they thought it was funny and cute to put alcohol in the bottle and watch him get drunk and fall down, laugh at him. And just so you know, Pastor's had every one of his brothers have been saved, his mom saved, and he takes care of his mom every day, and the whole family's turned. But that was his situation. And so when he came in, was coming out of the Marines after two combat tours, quite naturally, he was an alcoholic. And he was a part of a great church that was pastored by a full-blooded Cherokee. A wonderful man. I've met him. His name's Bill Faulding. He's a wonderful man that has one of the most amazing stories that you would ever hear. Adam, I'll have to get you the name of his book. The man wrote a book on rage and anger. You can find him on Facebook, but He went to the pastor and he said, "Pastor, I got to beat this alcohol. I can't be a good father with it." And so the pastor was teaching him how to use the word and speak the word in the name of Jesus and all that. And he said, nothing worked. It was so deep-seated in my life. And one day he went to church in Sister Pentecost. You know, the lady with her hair stacked up on top of her head, her dress down to the floor. She hasn't sinned since she ate 2 Oreo cookies 5 years ago, you know. He said she grabbed right a hold of me and said, "Young man, have you beat that alcohol yet?" And he said, "No, ma'am." And she said, "Well, what are you doing?" And he told her, and he said, "I'm fasting." She said, "Well, what are you fasting?" He said, "Well, you know, hamburgers and pizza and stuff." And he said, she looked at me and said, "Well, are you trying to get free from hamburgers and pizza?" He said, "No, ma'am." She said, "Well, have you ever thought about fasting alcohol?" And he said, I looked at her and said, "No, I've never thought about that." She said, "Well, fast alcohol." So he went to the pastor and said, "Pastor, what do you think about this?" He said, "Well, are you going to do it, Mark?" He said, "Well, yes, Pastor, I am." And the pastor looked at him and said, "Then if you're going to do that, I'm going to do it with you. You tell me what night you fast, and I'll fast with you all night long." So they picked a night. They both fasted. The pastor stayed awake and prayed with him all night. He called him in the morning. As pastor was getting ready to go to the back to the base as a Marine drill sergeant, the pastor said, "What are you doing?" He said, "I'm shaving and drinking a beer, Pastor." He said, "Did you drink last night?" "No, sir, I did not." He said, "That's amazing, Mark. That's the first night in your life in a long, very long time that you can probably remember that you haven't drank one at night in the evening." He said, "It's never happened, Pastor. I don't ever remember it." He said, "Wow, what a success. And that beer you're drinking now means nothing to our God because he's proud of your great success." Did you hear that? If we're so religious that we don't help people gain a victory whenever they get one, we're going to be the ones standing in the way. And Jesus Christ of Nazareth said, "Woe be to anyone that causes one of these little ones to stumble." And yes, that even includes grown adult men and women who actually have one good day of spirituality and having a relationship with God, and we diminish them. Don't do that. Man, if somebody takes a step and they're growing, thank God for it. Tell them how proud you are of them and march on. And he said, and then one night we fasted, one time they fasted 2 days. And then one time they did 7. And the pastor said, "Mark, I think you can make 30 days. And so he called him back after about 40 and he said, "You know, Mark, you never called me back and told me what's going on." He said, "That's because I'm still fasting, Pastor." He said, "Awesome." And Dr. Barclay said on this CD, "That's over 40-some years ago, and I'm still fasting today." "Well, Pastor, I didn't think that's what a fast was." Depends how serious you want something out of your life. Because Jesus said some of these only come out by prayer and fasting. You know, I think tougher than alcohol and cigarettes probably is somebody that has a lying tongue or a backbiting spirit or is a strifer or is always a murmurer and a complainer. That's going to be a severe situation to get rid of if you're involved in that. But this is what I hear the Holy Spirit saying to us. You know, we can see the deaf and dumb spirit came out. We can see the miracle. Thank you, Lord. We recognize your miracle. We see it. We're going to look for people deaf and dumb. And hopefully when we see them, we will have been fasting and praying, and we'll have that authority to cause this spirit to come out. However, this is what I know, because I know what God has said to me since that day I heard that message here last week. All day long, when doubt or a confused thought, a thought of confusion, What's the battles that a pastor fight? A pastor fights a battle every day. This is what God has said to me in this last week. Fast that. I'm like, that one thought? He goes, yeah, fast that one thought. I woke up Saturday morning, wide awake, and God said, I need you to go to these two Patriot Guard missions. And I gave him about three excuses of why I needed to stay in West Branch, and he said, fast that. And I said, I'm going. What do I got to do? Pastor, is it really that serious? Yeah, because I'm not going to be a disobedient servant. And when he said, go do it, and I started giving him excuses, I was starting to give some kind of human reasoning about why I wasn't going to obey him. And then we saw miracles. We saw God move mightily at both of the missions and then in the restaurant afterwards. Here's what I got for you today. Say this with me. Lord, help me fast and pray so I've got that power. So no matter when the devil shows up, I can take authority and lives will be changed. I receive it from you. Tell me, Lord, tell me to fast a few things so that my life is free and I have the power to help other people's life be free. I pray this in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Well, it's time to pray. We'll talk about this some more throughout the week. Here's what I know about you and I. God has brought us together so that we'll create this powerful force so that no matter what comes here, no matter who it is that comes to us and says, Pastor, will you please pray for us? Pray for my family. We will never hesitate one day. We'll look at the situation and say, you got it. And when we pray, things will happen. Things will change. And if there is a devil involved, the devil will be defeated immediately in that person's life. Can I get an amen from anybody? Don't worry. You can say it real loud because nobody's watching you. Let's pray now. Are you ready? Everybody pray the Our Father prayer with me. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts and trespasses, as we forgive those who are indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen and amen. Now, Lord, we come to you this morning. We come with our hearts lifted up, full of praise and thanksgiving for who you are. We thank you, Lord, that you are alive and that you are well because you're living on the inside of us. I know, Lord, right here, right now, this morning, in the lives of every one of these people, from Michigan to Ohio, over here into Tennessee, and all the other places where people will listen on the archive. I thank you, Lord, that you're doing a mighty work in their lives. Thank you for this great story, this great understanding. Thank you for this great teaching that helps us understand who you are, what you're doing, and how our lives can change every day. And now, Lord, as you taught us, we come to the Father in Jesus' mighty name right now. We come with our petitions and our request. But in that same process, We know that we can stand boldly in the fact that you have heard our prayers. And as it says in the book of John, we will have the petition that we ask. In so doing, we'll have great confidence in who you are. And so, Lord, here we are again this morning. We're bringing these who have had a cancer report to you. We bring Larry and Sherry and Chris and Terry and Tracy and Noreen, each of these people who've had this report. We bring our brother Gary, who said he's got a lump, and we bring Fred to you, Lord. Now, Lord, I don't know all these families, but you do. I don't know where they are and what's going on, but you do. You've never missed one day of their life, not ever. Not ever one day you've never missed it. And so, Lord, we stand confidently right now in who you are and what you're doing right now in their life. We know that just like the sword was placed in your side and blood and water flowed out and we received forgiveness of sin, you took 39 stripes on your back for our healing. And healing is as much a part of the atonement as salvation of sin. It's the whole package. So we administer your love, your mercy, your grace, and your kingdom come to this earth in the lives of these people who've had this cancer report. I rebuke this process of cancer, these rebellious cells. I command you to come in line with the word of God and that victory be in these people's lives. I declare this right now, according to the word of God, in the example of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. He rebuked the unclean spirit. Some of them, Lord, may not have a spirit. Some of them may just have, they just got some wild, rebellious cells. I declare in Jesus' mighty name that no matter what it is, as we have now for weeks presented these names to you, therefore Jesus of Christ of Nazareth is on the scene in their lives. And we thank you for that. We pray today, Lord, for Bill and Steve, for David, who's had the circulation problem, Dennis, who's had the knee replacement, and now his ankle needs to heal. We bring all of these to you, Lord, and say, solve these problems, and we declare healing, health, and strength in their life. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the good testimonies that we're receiving. We speak these people's names, not because we have any lack of the fact that you've done something already. We let this world around us know, today, I believe in Jesus Christ of Nazareth. I believe in his healing power, and these people's lives will be healed. We thank you for it again, Lord. We thank you for it again. Lord, we pray over this young lady, Chastity, and her dad. It's a messed up deal, Lord. It's a messed up deal. But you're the one that gets involved in messed up deals. I would say that most people would have thought, Jesus, that the man with 1,000 demons was a messed up deal. Couldn't even keep clothes on him. And yet it only took 5 seconds for you to say, come out, and the demons left. And his messed up deal changed forever. So solve that problem, Lord, for Chastity and for her dad. You know all the details. I speak right now, Lord, for our homebound man right here in our community that we're helping again this month. In the name of Jesus, open every door that needs to be opened now. I command the doors to open. Matter of fact, I say it your way, Lord. Behold, I've set before you an open door that no man can shut. I thank you for that. Lord, I pray for our sister Jackie this morning as their family and all their friends are dealing with their brother and the situations that's going on there. I declare in the mighty name of Jesus that there is strength there. Lord, we're speaking strength for Terry. We're speaking healing for Terry. Raise him up. Raise him up. Our faith and all the faith of everyone around us is saying, raise up Terry. Raise him up. And give this family great wisdom, I pray, in your mighty name. In your mighty name. We pray for the health of Jackie's body. Lord, this is one of your servants, and we continually bring her up before you because we know that you know exactly how to help her in her life, and you are giving her strength right here, right now, even as we pray this prayer. We know that it is what you've done for our sister Jackie, that it's your hand that's blessed her life and strengthened her continually, and we speak it again for her right here, right now, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And for that whole family. Lord, I pray for our friends that we met yesterday, for Ron and Barb and for Andrea. Lord, I don't know. I don't know these people, but you do. And you've never missed 1 minute of their life. And they came wide open to receive from you and did. And now, Lord, whatever that deal is they're dealing with today, I thank you, Jesus, that you're right in the middle of it. And there's strength and help and power in their life right now, today. And little Andrea, no matter what the devil has ever said, no matter what our enemy has ever done, no matter what doctor report is there, we don't deny the doctor and his intelligence. We just deny that it is superior to our Lord Jesus and that healing comes to this little girl's body right now. Restore her. You said it. You restore the years the locusts have eaten. We thank you for that. We thank you, Lord. We pray today for Janelle and for Brittany with the problems with their digestive tract. Lord, never had that problem. Only problem I've ever had is I put too much in there. But they're there. And whatever this issue is, once again, we stand here today and we declare by the stripes of Jesus, they are healed. We know this since this teaching last week. I've been fasting and praying. I declare this to be the case. Not that the doctors have to solve it, but that it's all cleared up from their system. And whatever it is, that it's just gone. It goes away. Like the man with 1,000 demons, they were there 1 minute, and the next minute they're gone. This was here this minute, and now it's gone because of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. So that Brittany gets to give the testimony. So that Janelle gets to give the testimony to everyone around her, and it changes their whole community. We speak that, Lord, over all these people with these horrible statements that's been spoken over them. Thank you, Lord. I pray for these marriages, Lord. You know all of them. You know every one of them that I'm talking to this morning or in an archive. I know, Lord, there's people with marriage problems, and I declare you will come to God, his word, his way, his men, his women to lead you. And I declare in Jesus' mighty name that you will have a very happy marriage. And that love will believe all things. It'll hope all things. It'll endure all things. It will not fail. Lord, I pray for Fred and for Brent. People who have been placed in jail, prison, improperly, unjustly, that's the word. And it matters not that it was unjustly, still got to deal with the issue that they were there. They are there. They're dealing with the issue now. Their family's got to deal with it. And there's trauma that comes because they had to deal with it. I rebuke you, trauma, and you will not destroy these men's lives. Bill. It's another one. I speak over Bill, Lord. Wow, these people's names are just coming to me. I better stop saying names. If that's you this morning and you have been placed in jail or prison unjustly, and it truly is unjust, not this jailhouse religion unjust, but it truly is unjust, or that happened once in your life and you've been dealing with it ever since, I declare right now over your life that you're free from that. That trauma that's there, God has now set you free from it because it's serious trauma. Now, I declare you're free to go and do and be, and that fear will no longer grip you. I bind you, fear. Jesus took you at the cross, and you're like two chained lions at the front gate. You can't get to the middle of the road, and all your teeth are plucked because you don't have any power over God's people. Lord, I say this over these people that have had the cancer and the tumor reports and these two with the stomach, Janelle and Brittany. I declare their family members don't surrender to fear. That they stay in faith and they learn to get this roar of the lion of the tribe of Judah on their lips, and they learn to look at the enemy and rebuke him for what he's done. I declare over every strifer that's trying to destroy any of the peace of our life, I declare you be removed and cast into the sea. Peace of God reigns, and that we have peace and victory. Thank you, Lord. We thank you for testimonies. I want everybody that's listening to me, I want you to look out your window, the closest one you can find, and find the sky somewhere. And just look at it. And just say, thank you, Lord, for answers for my life. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. We've had so many testimonies of your goodness to us. I went to two Patriot Guard missions and had people, Lord, give me money for the homeless man in West Branch. That's an answer to prayer. That's a miracle. These people, how in the world does that happen? That's a miracle, and I thank you for it. I declare miracles happened on Saturday in the state of Michigan. And I thank you for it. And now, Lord, we turn to our military. Those brave men and women that are out there fighting this morning. Wherever they are, Lord, wherever the combat is, whatever nation that's in, there's so many different places where we are. We declare right now in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth that they have strength and that they have confidence and that they are very effective in all that they do and that they'll be very effective at their specific task. They'll accomplish it quickly. Our enemy will run in fear because the peacemakers showed up. Because Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers. Lord, I pray right now for this family that we were at this weekend, Jeremy Cleese and his family, his wife and six children, in the name of Jesus, Lord. They're in a situation, Lord. And Jeremy's in heaven now. And that despair fills them. I pray for the Briggs family. I know that that there's despair that just fills their heart, Lord. But the scripture says that you came to carry, to bear our sorrows and to carry our griefs. Lord, I pray you'd help them roll them over onto you. Because that's a weight that you can't, that we can't bear as humans. But you can. And you promised us that you would heal the brokenhearted. And I speak that. I pray that over our Korea War vet that we've met on Sunday morning, Jesus. I don't know what's up with his wife. I just know what's up with you. Healing and health and strength. Bless the 1460th right here out of Michigan. Lord, thank you for victory. Thank you for answers. Thank you for provision. Thank you for strength to endure. Not only is the man on the field blessed because he's a peacemaker, but Mama and the people at home are blessed because they're there supporting our peacemakers. And may they ensure the blessings of liberty today so that we remain the land of the free and the home of the brave. We pray this, Lord, in your mighty name. And for your glory, we pray this. Amen and amen. I want everybody to pray this prayer with me. Say this prayer. Lord Jesus, I need you in my life today in every area. May I always remember that you are that silent partner, guest in every conversation. Forgive me of my sin. Wash me with your blood. Make me white as snow. Fill me with your Holy Spirit so I can walk with you. And I will thank you in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Well, no matter where you are, I encourage you to get in touch with us. Let us know if that was your first time of praying that prayer. We want to help you walk with God. And if you're on, you know, you're on our archives with us, let us know where you are. Send us a letter. You can see it right there on the screen. You got all our contact information. You can write me at P.O. Box 622 West Branch, Michigan, 48661. You can send me an email at samcottle@sbcglobal.net. You can reach me on my Facebook. You can come out like the couple did yesterday and see us at 600 Progress Street right here in West Branch at 3 o'clock on Sunday afternoons. Or if you see me on the street, give me a high five. The number to hand out to people is 347-838-8241. If they want to find us on Blog Talk Radio, it's blogtalkradio.com/proverb prayer miracle. And they'll be able to be a part of it. I call you blessed today. When Jesus says to you today, fast that, know this, he's just taking you up another level. And now you're going to have extra power when you reach your hand out and pray for people. Well, everywhere you go today, remember this one statement. Jesus is Lord, and he really does perform miracles today, right here, right now, today. He's performing miracles in our lives.
I hope that you've enjoyed this message today. My prayer for your life and family is that since you're an heir of salvation, the angels of the Lord will minister to you every day of your life. I know that since you're dwelling in the secret place of the Most High, you will remain stable and fixed under the shadow of the Almighty, whose power no foe can withstand. I say he delivers you from the snares and traps with which the enemy would try to stop you. I say the word will be your shield and buckler every day. You will not be afraid of anything. You may see thousands fall by your side, but it will not come near you. Only a spectator shall you be, yourself inaccessible in the secret place. No evil shall befall you. No plague or calamity will come near your dwelling, for he will give his angels special charge over you to accompany, defend, and preserve you in all of your ways of obedience and service. I say all these blessings will come on you and overtake you. You'll be blessed in the city, in the field, in the fruit of your body, in your work, and God shall increase you more and more. I say you're blessed when you come in and blessed when you go out. I say the Lord shall cause your enemies that come out against you to flee in seven ways. You'll be the head and not the tail, above only and not beneath, and you will not turn aside from any of these words of the Lord. I thank the Lord for you, and I pray that he shall grant unto you a spirit of wisdom and revelation, of insight into mysteries and secrets in the deep and intimate knowledge of him. I pray the eyes of your understanding be flooded with enlightenment so that you can understand your place in God, and that you know and understand what is the immeasurable, unlimited, and surpassing greatness of his power to you as you believe. And as always, we want you to know that we love you, and God loves you. He has a place for you in His kingdom. He is good, and His mercy endures forever.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business?
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.